Good to see all of you here this morning. If you're visiting us today, welcome. We're so glad you're here with us. I guess just a few things before we kind of jump into our passage this morning. One, this past week was our Small Group Leaders Appreciation Week. And so if you're here and if you're leading a small group for our church, we just want to, I guess, corporately say thank you. As all of you know, small groups are so important to our church community. And so thank you for leading and serving our church body so well this past year. We hope that you are encouraged and that you can continue to sort of press on, serve us as you sort of receive God's encouragement through our body. Second thing I want to mention is this past week, the pastors got together and we kind of discussed and prayed about coronavirus and sort of what that means for our church community and in this region. And so we did send out a letter to you. If you did not get that letter, it's on our webpage now. Just go ahead and check that out. We are modifying a few things on Sundays. For instance, we no longer have food out there in the before the service, and we'll continue to kind of monitor what's happening and adjust a few things or maybe some big things as we hear or as we get more information. So let's just be connected to what's happening. But I would also say that, let's keep sort of pressing into sort of what God's doing, because I think it could be easy for us to be distracted by just things that are happening and kind of lose focus on the season of Lent and how God might be speaking to us. And so that's our encouragement from the pastoral staff. We hope that we want to be mindful and we want to make sure that we operate our Sundays and other gatherings safely. And at the same time, we want to make sure that we are pursuing Jesus in midst of sort of all that's happening. And so why don't we at this time pray together for those things, and then we will jump into our passage this morning. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we've already sang about a lot of different things, about how good you are and how we want to pursue you and how you cleanse us. We acknowledge that you really are sovereign, that you are all-powerful. And whether it's this virus that's going on around the globe or other things in our life, we acknowledge that you have control over all things. And so we want to continue to seek you, continue to pursue you in midst of all of these things. Last Sunday we talked about being anxious and how you call us to, above all else, seek you first. And so we now just pause and seek you, God. We do also want to pray for those who are, fearful or anxious. We pray for your presence to be upon them and upon us. Give us a sense of peace in midst of all that we are hearing and seeing. We pray for our church community that you would keep us safe. We pray for this region. We pray that you would keep us safe. Pray that you, in midst of it all, that you would be, that your love, your grace, your power will be more displayed through your people. We pray that you would guard our hearts. Help us not to be anchored or controlled by fear, but Lord, that we will look to you as we press on towards you, as well as begin to or continue to love others. So we want to just commit this situation to you. We want to commit our time to you this morning as well. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's continue to look to him and continue to encourage one another, as we try to navigate the situation. All right, as we've been talking about, we're in the Lent season, and Lent season is a great time, I think, for us to kind of pause and realign our hearts to God and to Christ. And we are going to do that on Sundays by looking at different Psalms. And I think looking at Psalms is helpful because Psalms are prayers. And if you look at church history of people who were men and women of faith, they used the book of Psalms to pray, and they would learn how to pray through the book of Psalms. So our goal is to kind of read and study and talk about different Psalms and use those Psalms to kind of go deeper with God. And so last Sunday we looked at Psalm 27, and today we'll look at Psalm 137. So So if you have your Bibles with you or your devices, please turn with me to Psalm 137. Psalm 137. All right, Psalm 137 says, "By the waters of Babylon, there we sat down and wept when we remembered Zion. On the willows there we hung up our lyres, for there our captors required of us songs, and our tormentors mirth, saying, Sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget its skill. Let my tongue stick to the roof of my mouth. If I do not remember you, if I do not set Jerusalem above my highest joy. Remember, O Lord, against the Edomites, the day of Jerusalem, how they said, lay it bare down to its foundations. O daughter of Babylon, doomed to be destroyed, blessed shall he be who repays you with what you have done to us. Blessed shall he be who takes your little ones and dashes them against the rock." All right, this is God's word. I will pause there, or we'll stop there. Last Sunday we looked at Psalm 27. We talked about how we sort of deal with anxiousness or feeling anxious. This psalm has to deal with pain and anger. The context is pretty specific. If you look at verse 1, it says, "By the waters of Babylon, there we sat down and wept when we remembered Zion." So the context is the psalmist is either thinking about his time in Babylon, or maybe he's in Babylon, and he's there because the Babylonians came to Jerusalem and conquered that city, burnt it down, looted the city, killed people, destroyed everything, and they took the survivors off to exile to Babylon. And so there were these group of Jews who were captured and landed in Babylon, and there they weep. And that's the psalm, that's the context. There they are in a foreign land, exactly not knowing what's going to happen, not sure where God is. And they weep and they sing this song, or they pray this psalm. So that's the context. In Jeremiah 52, it gives us a little glimpse of what's happening. Jeremiah 52:10, it says, "The king of Babylon slaughtered the sons of Zedekiah." Zedekiah was a king at that time. "Before his eyes, and he also slaughtered all the princes of Judah in Riblah. Then he blinded the eyes of Zedekiah, and the king of Babylon bound him with bronze fetter and brought him to Babylon and put him in prison until the day of his death." And so, you know, most of us haven't gone through something like this, but this psalm is about someone who's experienced horrific things. And in verse 9, it kind of talks about, it implies that the Babylonians even crushed infants, crushed kids against rocks. I mean, the psalm is about expressing pain. Someone who's gone through some deep, like, horrific things in life and able to kind of express those things and pray through those things. And I think I'm going to kind of talk about three things here. What does that look like, or what does he do here? I think he does three things. One, he acknowledges his pain. Number two, he limits his pain. And then number three, he surrenders his pain. So he acknowledges pain, limits his pain, surrenders his pain. So these things will go quickly. And I think during the Lent season, our goal is to kind of talk about these psalms. And then at the end, use the psalm that we talk about to kind of pray and invite you to pray together. So that's the plan here. So we'll kind of three thoughts here. One, he acknowledges his pain. I'm sure as we read this psalm together, it ends pretty abruptly, right? He says there's this deep, intense emotion, and the emotion is feeling of like pain and anger. Matter of fact, if you do a survey of the Bible, like, there's a lot of pain in Scripture. Almost a third of the Psalms that we read in the book of Psalms has to do with like lamenting, like anguish, grief. frustration, pain. About a third of the psalm. You have the book of Jonah, book of Job. That's like really about pain. Someone who's going through deep pain and he is crying out to God. You have the book of Lamentations. You have most of the prophetic books in the Bible has to do with pain and frustration and crying out to God for justice. You have even in the Gospels, you have people in pain crying out to Jesus for help. You have in the book of Acts, the early church being persecuted almost every other chapter, and they're in pain crying out to God. And so if you just do a overview of the Bible, there are lots of pain in Scripture. And so I think when we read Psalms like this, I think the Psalms are giving us freedom to be okay with pain in our life. And matter of fact, it's especially this psalm, it doesn't end with, but I will trust in you, God, or Lord, I will praise you in midst of these circumstances. It just ends with pain and anger. And I think this psalms like this is telling us that it's okay for pain and anger and frustration to linger. When you read different psalms, you read and it's like the psalmist is struggling with anxiety or anger and pain, and then it ends with, but I will trust in you. When you read psalms like that, oftentimes we think that it feels strange because, like, he's dealing with pain, and then a minute later he's praising God. But I think we need to understand that psalms like that is actually not written in real time. It's like they have gone through a season of pain. They have reflected and thought about what that pain is like. And so it's after a long period of time, they come out and they say, but God, I will trust in you. So it's not that they went through pain one moment and churned and then said, God, but you're good. No, it was a season in their life. They've thought through this. They've reflected on it, meditated on it, and prayed through it. And then they wrote these psalms. And so there are a significant number of psalms that allows us to just be okay with pain. Let, like, negativity sort of linger. And actually, if you are not able to do that with frustrations and grief and pain in your life, your Christian life or your transformation to become more like Jesus, I will not take place. And this is something that I am not an expert in, something that I am learning, actually. Because I think in my life, like through the family that I grew up in and sort of even how I've looked at Scripture and looked at my relationship with God, like emotion, I didn't know how to deal with negative emotions as well. You know, growing up, like, negativity happened, and there was really one emotion. It was anger in my household, sort of. Well, not everyone. My sisters were very nice. They never got angry. But, like, my dad, I mean, that's, like, there's, like, you know, there's no other emotion except sort of, like, well, I should say anger, I think, dominated his emotion. And obviously, he had his background, you know, like, someone who's gone through a lot of pain in his life as well. So it was kind of like emotion was anger and really nothing like much else. And so, you know, as a grown-up and even as a pastor, just trying to, like, figure out where pain and anger fit into my Christian life and my transformation into Christ, like being more like Jesus. Where does that fit? And I do know that it has to be processed in some capacity. Like, if you sort of ignore it or bury it or just sort of erupt in anger, like, something is lacking in your transformation. It's something that I'm learning, but I think psalms like this, it helps us to be okay with, like, pain. Like, we actually can let negative emotions in our hearts. We don't have to move on so quickly. When you feel, I guess I'm talking about myself, but I feel like a lot of us might relate. When you feel negativity, whether it's anger or grief, sadness, you know, oftentimes we want to move quickly from that emotion. Like, we don't know exactly how to deal with it, so we quickly move from it, either by, you know, turning to our idols, something that will give us quick fix, something that will make us feel better quickly. You know, that could be entertainment, it could be the internet, it could be food, it could be alcohol, anything that will kind of make us feel better and kind of help us forget about the stuff that we feel. The Psalms are telling us, like, that negative feelings that you feel, whether it's because you failed at something or you got criticized by someone or you're just upset and angry, like, that feeling is okay. And I think some of us, we think that that's sin. Like, you feel angry or you feel, like, sad or depressed. Some of us think that that's sin. It's not sin. That's your emotions, and it's okay to let it linger. I think one of the most helpful verses in the Bible is from Ephesians chapter 4, right? Be angry, but do not sin. It's okay for you to feel anger or feel pain, feel things that are negative. And it's okay, and not even okay, it's actually appropriate for you to allow that emotion to sort of linger there. It's okay. Let it linger. Now, what's important is, and what the Psalms help us with, is you take that emotion, and because it's not sin, because sometimes we go, man, I feel this negativity in my heart. I need to deal with this first before I approach God. Right? You go, man, I feel angry, and I need to kind of, okay, I need to figure this out before I go to God. The Psalms are actually saying, you have these feelings, pain and anger, rather than trying to figure this out before going to God, the Psalms are telling us, no, take those things to God. It's praying our pain and praying our anger and praying our anxiety. I mean, that's what the Psalms are telling us. So the first thing that I want to make sure that we get is, it's okay for us to feel these things, feel these emotions, pain, anger, you know, disappointment, frustration. Again, about a third of the Psalms in the book of Psalms, like, that's what they're about. It's like lamenting and anguish. It's okay. We can embrace that. And here's the second thing. Second thing is, he limits his pain. Look at verse 4 through verse 6. It says, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget its skill. Let my tongue stick to the roof of my mouth. If I do not remember you, if I do not set Jerusalem above my highest joy. So here's the thing that I think that's important. On the one hand, this psalmist is like genuinely real with his like pain and anger. I mean, you could see it. You could feel it. On the other hand, he doesn't allow his anger and pain to control him. Like, there's a limit to how much he's going to allow this negative emotion to dictate and control who he is. He doesn't become cynical here. He doesn't become, like, bitter. He's saying, God, this is how I'm feeling, because at the latter part of the psalm, I mean, he's very raw with his emotions. But when you read this, he's still saying, but I'm not going to forget you, God. I'm going to still find my satisfaction and joy in you, right? It's like there's a balance. He's real with his emotions, pain, on the one hand. And the other hand, he goes, in midst of all of that, I'm not going to forget you, God. I'm going to still make sure that you are my highest joy. There's an author named Paul Miller who wrote a book called A Praying Life. And this is something that he said. I read this a long time ago, and it really, I've been thinking about this for a long time, and I think it's helpful. He says this. He says, he talks about himself. He says, I make the jump from optimism to darkness so quickly because I am not grounded in a deep, abiding faith that God is in the matter, no matter what the matter is. And then he says, I am looking for pleasant results, not deeper realities of God. The movement from naive optimism to cynicism is the new American journey. So he's saying basically for a lot of Christians, a lot of people, we go from optimism, being optimistic about life. And that's our culture because of wealth, resources, education, technology. We are very optimistic about how life should be like. But when pain hits, when there are failures and struggles, what happens is it doesn't draw us deeper into God. No, it quickly gets us to become more cynical and even bitter because our faith was never grounded in God. It was really about having pleasant results of life. Like we wanted life to be successful and good and beautiful because of all of these things. Our faith was never really grounded in God at all. And he's saying it moves quickly from optimism to cynicism. I think that's true for a lot of people, I think. You know, it's like they are excited about Christian life and excited about what God might be doing. But once hardship hits, pain happens, what happens? They don't go deeper into God. They quickly cross over and become cynical. When you look at this psalm, there's no cynicism here. Like the context is they're in slavery in Babylon, and the Babylonians, what's implied here is the Babylonians are mocking the Jews and their faith. They're basically saying, you sing about this almighty God. Go ahead, sing more songs about your God to us. And that's what they're saying. While they're in slavery in Babylon, go ahead and sing the songs of your faith. And, you know, the psalmist is saying, how can we do this? We're going to still find our joy in God. So on the one hand, he acknowledges his pain. On the other hand, he limits his pain. Now here's a question. How do you do that? How do you actually come to God and say, God, this is how I feel. But allow or don't allow your emotions and pain and anger to actually control you and turn into someone who is cynical and bitter. How do you do that? Number three, he surrenders his pain. Let's read verse 7 one more time. He says, and I think this is the key phrase here, verse 7. He says, remember, O Lord, against the Edomites, the day of Jerusalem, how they said, lay it bare, down to its foundations. O daughter of Babylon, doomed to be destroyed, blessed shall he be who repays you with what you have done to us. Blessed shall he be who takes your little ones and dashes them against the rock. The main phrase here is verse 7. Remember, O Lord. The psalmist is not doing this. He's not saying, his prayer is not this. He's not saying, God, you know what these people did to us? Give me strength now so that I can take my revenge. That's not what he's doing. He's saying, remember, O Lord, what they did, their sense of trust and surrender. And matter of fact, if you read closely, what he's doing is he's saying, God, remember what took place. And then he's bringing to God two evidences. One is what the Edomites did, and then two, what the Babylonians did. The Edomites, what they did was they were descendants of Esau. And rather than even perhaps helping the Israelites, they stood by and actually they mocked them. They gloated over the Jerusalem's suffering and destruction. And actually they went ahead and looted other smaller cities and villages and tortured people. So they just kind of like stood by and benefited from the sufferings that Jews went through. And obviously Babylonians, what's implied here is they not only killed people, even the little ones, they dashed little ones against the rock. So the psalmist is basically saying, I surrender this to you because, one, you're a just God. It's kind of like this. Many years ago, when I was in Philly studying, I would come down to Nova or this region to visit my family here and there. And I remember one time I came during my Thanksgiving break, and my parents handed me a ticket, a traffic ticket. that came to me on the mail. So I looked at it, like it was a ticket, I think it was like $150, and it was to me, Steve Kim. And I was like, there's no way this is me, because I wasn't here. It really frustrated me. I was like, I'm not going to pay this, because this is, I'm pretty sure on this, day, I wasn't here in DMV region. I was up in Philly. And so I think I spent 2 days going from, one courthouse to another, the county, place, to offices, and talked to many different people until finally they acknowledged, okay, maybe this is not you. And back then I was, in my early 20s. And they looked at this guy, and okay, he's in his 50s. Obviously, he has the same name as you, but this is not you. And the whole 2 days, I was pursuing justice. This can't be me. I don't deserve this, right? I mean, there's no way that I should have to pay $150. I was passionately motivated to make sure that I was cleared. I think that's what's happening here. The psalmist saw something that was horrific. Injustice, pain for his people. And he's going to God. And he's saying, God, you know what the Edomites did to us. You know what the Babylonians did to us. Because you are a just God, just judge, I bring this case to you. As a matter of fact, almost all the commentators say that this psalm is was written as a form of trial. It's like the psalmist is bringing a case before a just God and asking a just God to bring justice. The reason why we can bring our pain, and especially if you've been treated unjustly, we can bring that to God because our God is just. At the end of the Bible, he's a judge that judges justly. So we can bring our pain and surrender it to this God because he is just. And there's in Psalm 56, it talks about how God remembers our tossing when we sleep. Meaning he knows what troubles us. And then it says he keeps our tears in his bottle. What that says is God sees your pain. God remembers your pain. It's not that you went through some difficult times in your life and you might have forgotten it, or maybe it's a distant memory, but the scripture tells us that God sees and remembers what you went through, your pains in your life. And this is why we can bring our pain and surrender it. We don't have to try to fix it on our own. We don't have to be overwhelmed by it. We can acknowledge it, and yet we can trust in this God who sees all things and who judges justly. But there's a second reason why we can come to him and surrender our pain to him. And that's because he's not only a just judge, but he's also a suffering Savior. If you read verse 1, verse 2, verse 3. Let me just read it for us. It says this, right? It says, by the waters of Babylon, there we sat down and wept when we remembered Zion. On the willows there we hung up our lyres, for there our captors required of us songs, and our tormentors mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. Now when you look at this passage in Hebrew, there's this phrase, a word, new, and it's translated into ours or we, and it's repeated 9 times in this 3 verses. And what it's doing is accentuating the pain that they felt. So it's actually, it says, actually, we sat, we wept, we remembered, we hung, our captors, our songs, our tormentors, and it's accentuating how much we felt this pain. Another place in the Old Testament that uses similar literary device to talk about pain is in Isaiah 53, when it's talking about Jesus. Isaiah 53:4 says, surely he has borne our griefs. carried our sorrows. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And with his wounds we are healed. And what it's saying is, what the reason why we can surrender our pain, because the Christianity, our God, is not just a just judge, but he actually is a suffering servant. Like, he knows our pain, not from distance. Like, it's not saying, oh, I see what you're going through and I understand it. No, he actually felt our pain, took upon himself what we went through. He knows it. And that's why we can fully surrender our pain to him. There's no other God in all of the religion that talks about a suffering God, a suffering servant, a suffering Savior. But our God went to the cross. He knows our pain. If you look at the, sort of take a step back and look at the cross, think about the cross. Our God the Father voluntarily allowed his Son to be dashed, crushed by stones. Like, he did that so that eventually the pain that we experience in this life will ultimately end. Like, he will deal with all the pain that we've experienced, and the pain of this world, like, eventually it will end. He sacrificed his Son voluntarily to be crushed by stones so that ultimately at the end, pain will end, and that we will be saved from experiencing eternal pain and condemnation. So surrendering our pain to God, we could do that because we have a God who is just. But not only God who is just, but we know we have a God who shares the sufferings and the pains of his people. That's why we can come and surrender our pain to him. All right. What we're going to do is we're going to just spend some time in prayer. And how we want to do this is read the psalm. And this is how, you know, Christians throughout history used psalms to pray. And so we're going to read portions of the psalm together and then just pray a little bit. Portions of the psalm, pray a little bit. Portions of the psalm, pray. So we'll do that three times. And they will be sort of broken down. And I'll lead us. So let's maybe read this section together. And then we'll spend 1 or 2 minutes in prayer. Okay? All right, so let's read this portion. By the waters of Babylon, there we sat down and wept. When we remembered Zion, on the willows there we hung up our lyres, for there our captors required of us songs, and our tormentors mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. Let's close our eyes and, you know, with this section, why don't we just acknowledge our, like, pain? You know, I mean, I am first one to admit this, but I just, you know, it just, that's not part of my spiritual like journey. It's something that I'm learning, but I think it's important because unless we know who we are and where we are, like, it's gonna be hard for us to really change and be more like Jesus. And so, just let's take a minute and just say, God, I have all these unprocessed feeling that's not good. And rather than one day kind of like bursting it out, blurting it out, or kind of processing it unhealthily, let's just acknowledge this before God and just say, God, this is like the sorrow that I feel in my heart, or there's pain in my soul. I'm frustrated, I'm angry, I'm disappointed, I'm hurt, and all these things. Let's just surrender or acknowledge them to God at this time. Thank you. Let's read this next section together. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget its skill. Let my tongue stick to the roof of my mouth. If I do not remember you, if I do not set Jerusalem above my highest joy. Now let's pray one more time. And this time, you know, as you acknowledge your pain and disappointments and frustrations in life, let's ask God to give us grace so that in the midst of these shortcomings and negativity that we sense in our hearts, that we won't be overwhelmed by them, that we won't become cynical or bitter, but that we will continue to acknowledge that God is our highest joy. Let's ask Him to help us to, in the midst of pain, that God's grace would shine forth, and that we will continue to hold on to Him and acknowledge that He is our highest joy. So let's take a minute to pray that way. The next section here. Remember, O Lord, against the Edomites, the day of Jerusalem, how they said, lay it bare, down to its foundations. O daughter of Babylon, doomed to be destroyed, blessed shall he be who repays you with what you have done to us. Blessed shall he be who takes your little ones and dashes against. The key phrase there is, remember, O Lord. And I want to take a little longer time to pray this prayer. And I'm going to ask, I've asked Pastor Jonathan, one of our elders, Peter and Patty, if they could come up and just, well, they'll be up here. Because sometimes, you know, when we're praying, it's sometimes hard to pray. And it's just so helpful if you can pray with someone. And I think during Lent, we want to try to do that. Again, you could be there and just pray. But sometimes it's hard to kind of express words, and man, it's so good when you can just be together with others and just pray together. So if you want to do that, come on up. And it's not that they have, you know, anything special power, but it's just the community aspect of, let's just pray together. And so we want to kind of practice that. You know, this prayer, the psalmist didn't know exactly what was going to happen, but Book of Obadiah, it's actually about God answering the psalm. It's Book of Obadiah is a book on judgment towards Edom. And we know that after several hundred years, even the mighty kingdom of Babylon was defeated by Syria. And so, you know, we pray, we surrender our pain and our life to God without really knowing exactly what's going to happen. But we do trust two things, right? That God's just. He sees our pain. He remembers them. It's amazing. We might forget. Maybe something's happened when we're younger and we've forgotten. But Scripture tells us that God remembers our tears. He remembers our tossing. And then secondly, most importantly, the cross reminds us that we have a God who took upon our pain. Let's think about that. Not from distance, but He actually took your pain. He knows exactly the pain that you went through or you're going through. And so there might be one or two of you here that, man, it's been a real rough season in life. There are a lot of pains. Let's just surrender that to God without really exactly knowing what's going to happen in the future, but just simply trusting in God's character. God's just. And yet He's so merciful. He knows what I'm going through, what we're going through. So let's spend some time in prayer. I'm going to give us maybe a little extra time, maybe 2, 3, 4 minutes or so. And if you want to come up and just pray with someone, I think it's so helpful. So I want us to do that. Why don't we do this at this time? Maybe we could stand together. And just, I'm going to ask us to, if you would, just as a posture of kind of surrendering, let's just open up our hands, you know, and just say, God, all the stuff that I'm going through and all the feelings that I'm feeling, pain that I have in my heart, I don't know what to do with them, but I know that I can surrender them to you. And so let's take some time to do that. And if you like to come and pray with someone, please come up and do that as well. So let's spend a few minutes surrendering our pain to the Lord at this time. a little more. Again, if you want to pray with someone, yeah, please come on up. But let's pray also for people that we know. Maybe this is a season where, you know, things are okay, and you know, you are kind of whether flourishing or there's times of joy and blessing, but you know, there are people in your life who are struggling, and let's take some time to pray for them. Maybe it's your family member or a friend, whether they're close, nearby, or maybe in distant. They're just struggling, whether it's physical illness or they're just discouraged, depressed. They're in a place where there's a lot of pain, and they need our prayers. So let's take another moment to pray for them. Let's pray that in midst of struggling with pain and trying to live their faith, that they would surrender what they're feeling and their pain to the Lord, and that God would draw them to Himself. So let's pray for one another. Pray for those who are struggling in your life at this time. Let's do it together.